All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Adult Education Hour and our final installment of the Biblical Stories of Reunion and Restoration. It is my great pleasure to introduce to you someone who you already know. But what a treat to have one of our own teaching in adult ed this morning. Noel Werner has been the director of music at Nassau Presbyterian Church since 2006. He lectures on occasion at Westminster Choir College and Princeton Theological Seminary and spearheads many cooperative music endeavors in the community, in addition to directing Nassau's adult choir, coordinating Nassau's extensive music program, and staffing Nassau's worship and arts committee. We're all very excited to see Noel's face and not just the back of his head this morning. So please join me in welcoming Noel Werner.
Pleasure to be with you this morning. I have a question for you. What does heaven sound like? And so we're going to do quite a bit of listening and singing today. And I'd like to start with one oral picture of what heaven sounds like. This is the New Orleans traditional jazz band playing in Compton, California. Sorry, let me pull out of that. There we go. This is what I meant to do. There it is. What does heaven sound like? Let us join in prayer. Peace be to you and grace from him who freed us from our sin, who loved us all and shed his blood that we might saved be. Sing holy, holy to our Lord, the Lord Almighty God, who was and is to come. Sing, holy, holy Lord. Rejoice in heaven, all ye that dwell therein. Rejoice on earth, ye saints below. For Christ is coming soon. For Christ is coming soon. E'en so, Lord Jesus, quickly come, and night shall be no more. They need no light, no lamp, nor sun, for Christ will be their all. Amen. Does anyone recognize those words? Grace, what are those words from? It's interesting you would associate it with Thou Shalt Know Him because the anthem, E'en So Lord Jesus Quickly Come, has also been an anthem that's sung at the alumni and cantori service quite a bit. Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come. You recognize the words, right? So good connection, right? It's an anthem by Paul Montz, and the text is by his wife, Ruth Montz. And what she did was she collected it from various places in the book of Revelation. It was written during a period of serious illness for their three-year-old child. Ruth Montz states, "I think we'd reached the point where we felt that time was certainly running out. So we committed it to the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, quickly come.' Their son did recover. But I find it interesting that it was during this time of crisis that they reached for that wild conclusion to the whole Christian Bible, the book of Revelation, for words of gratitude, hope, and comfort. When they felt time was running out, together as author and composer, they cast their vision of what heaven might sound like." As I have been considering this last reunion in our series and looking at our passage today from Revelation 7, it has struck me that in our denominational tradition and in our particular congregation, Revelation is very infrequently a source for preaching, but very frequently, in one form or another, we sing it. Filled with complicated symbolism and often frightening cataclysmic visions, Revelation can seem like an intimidating puzzle meant for just a few experts well-versed in apocalyptic literature of the Bible. But it wasn't written for those interested in theological symbolism, numerology, or other intellectual pursuits. It was written for those beleaguered by a sense of the end, struggling mightily to hold on to their faith in Christ and their hope for the coming kingdom of God. In other words, for you and for me. And I believe the reason that we sing this book more than we preach it or study it is that it is meant to be sung. Like a piece of poetry, we are not meant to solve, but to experience through sound and thus find its meaning for our life of faith. The third verse of the first chapter of Revelation states, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." This means that it is meant to be vocalized so that it may be heard and kept. This morning we'll explore what the great and final reunion in heaven might sound like as we join with John of Patmos's grand symphony and discover what that sound prophetically reveals. I'd like to begin a little early in Revelation, in the fifth chapter. "When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth.' And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and they numbered myriads of myriads and thousands, singing with full voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea, and all that is in them singing, 'To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and forever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." So I'd like us to experience a couple of pieces of music together and have some time for reflection on what we hear heaven sounding like. Think about words that would describe what you're hearing. Another 6 minutes to go of an amen, and I think we, but give me some words to describe what you heard, what you experienced. What does heaven sound like? Okay, so Pat has outlined that we have dimensions of experience represented just in these voice parts, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, yeah. Yeah, the voice is a picture of heaven, good. Other observations, one L.
Triumphal,
yeah. Yeah, it has that sense of triumphant feeling, right? Given with the organ and the timpani underneath, right? And the myriad of voices. Other thoughts, yes, Barbara. That's a good observation. Barbara mentioned the individual, that once you've experienced singing something like this or being part of it, once you hear it, then you hear yourself, you hear your part within that, in that chorus, and that's actually a mirror of the Christian life, right? Right. So heaven sounds like teamwork. That's interesting, right? I think that's a very good observation, right? And that's what we see in this passage, these myriad of myriads. You know, it's not just one living creature, it's four living creatures and 24 elders and myriads of, you know, and the earth and the sea and everything that dwells therein, right? Right? Yeah, one more, Tom.
I got a question. Would an ancient person have heard a choir like that? Was choral music a thing in the ancient world?
If choral music was a thing in the ancient world, we really don't know what it sounded like. But for the ancient person, it was probably glorious because they referred to it a lot. Right? Both in Psalms and we know also in Hellenistic culture and in Greek culture as well. I mean, those are the two that I can point to immediately. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So very good observations, right? Let's open our hymnals. Hymn 215. Hymn 215. And I'd like to take a look at our last two verses. And you are authorized to sing together here in this space. Let's sing verse 3 and 4. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, I will sing. To God.
how great I am. While millions join the theme, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be. And through eternity I'll sing on. And through eternity I'll sing on.
What words would you use to describe that experience of heaven? And you can contrast it with what we heard from our friend Handel. What words might you use? Lorraine.
Well, the word eternity appears again and again, and it's an eternal kind of feeling.
Right.
A lastingness.
So the repetition of the word eternity, and also I'll sing on, gives us a sense of this ongoingness, this eternal feeling. Yeah, just in the structure of the melody and the repetition of the words, yeah. Other observations?
Exuberance.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
So, I'll sing on, right? That confidence and exuberance. So, that's a very interesting word to describe a tune like Wondrous Love, but I think you're onto something, right? Exuberance, eternity, yes. Yeah, it's a truly individual, personal statement, even though we sang it corporately, right? And this is kind of the neat thing about that two-sided of, is it me and my Jesus, or is it all of our Jesus? it's both, right? That personal connection, that one-on-one. Yeah, it's an individual sort of statement. Something, it's much easier to carry Wondrous Love with you into the hospital room than, you know, all those people and instruments, right? Yeah. Any other, one more observation before we go on? Yeah. Endurance, yeah. Pat has referenced the second verse, when I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, right? So that this whole piece walks us through a sense of endurance and hope, right? Just with that simple melody. Terrific. Let's continue on. Now we can turn our attention to our passage for this Sunday, Revelation 7. And when Dave was putting this series together, what he termed the great reunion, the final reunion. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." And then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And for this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So some new themes, right? The first passage from The fifth chapter was really about praise and glory, about gratitude, right? About what we're designed to be, this gracious grateful, thankful being before God. But now we have this great ordeal, emerging from a great ordeal, and receiving a reward of shelter, sustenance, and comfort. The ordeal in this passage has to do with the unsealing of the six seals that were unsealed prior to this passage, and in anticipation of the seventh seal being taken apart. And those six seals are calamities that befall humanity and the world. It used to be very hard to imagine something on that scale, right? It's a timely book for us now, right? We can envision that, right? And so right at that point, after the sixth seal, after people are hiding in caves, after this I looked, and there was a great multitude, right? These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. Let's take a look at a couple of reunion hymns. 275, I think is the one I have here. Or sorry, 375. 375. As I say sometimes to my choir, oh, what are numbers, you know? But I guess in this instance, it's important. 375.
Feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather by the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever at the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide our robe and crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God,
etc., etc. Oh, you want to sing the last verse? Here we go. Soon we'll face the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with a melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. What does heaven sound like in this hymn? Again,
fun.
That sounds like it'd be kind of fun. Yeah, enjoyable.
Very good. Yeah, it borrows that conceit. Jump, 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 dee, dee, dee.
Yeah, like a march, right? It's so interesting that music is not neutral, right? As soon as you pick a style, you're saying something about what you think it's going to sound like and feel like, what's going to mean, even. Yeah. Any other observations? Yeah.
And when we sang this hymn, it sounded
Huh. So Barbara's reflecting an elderly person that she would give rides to church, and that person, when they would sing this, identified it as it sounded like home, right? So that could be tied up into culture too, something you remember having sung in your childhood church, right? But there's something kind of old-timey about it when we sing it too, right? And then I feel like we're in production of Our Town or something. Yeah. Yes. Good observation. Yeah, 1864, right? Right. And even though that was going on, people were still worshiping, right, and still getting together. What might this have been sung for in terms of Christian practice? Baptism, right, at the river. And I don't know if you've seen any of these photos. I'm sorry, now I just thought of it. I should have pulled up a photograph of scenes of baptisms from the 19th century. These huge crowds, it was like the whole town would get together, right, and gather. And so it was like a prelude to the reunion in heaven, right? And of course, as people are gathered, they're probably talking about grandma and grandpa and, oh, do you remember Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so, right? So there's that sense as well. So that gathering at the river, like when we gather at the table for communion, is a prelude for what we might experience in heaven. Yeah. Yeah, Tom.
They would all put on their white robes to go gather at the river.
Right, right. Right, that symbolism, that, right, being washed, yeah. Another observation before we move on? Yeah, it's good. These are good observations, right? And very different visions of heaven inspired by the same book. One more I'd like us to take a look at before we move on is hymn 819. We're not going to sing this whole hymn, but simply the third verse. The third verse. 819, third verse.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is hastening on. When we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
How does that contrast with "Shall We Gather at the River"? What's going on in this hymn or this vision of heaven? What words would you use to describe it? Yeah.
Pensive,
sort of a thoughtful, reflective, yeah?
It sounds like something that would be sung while someone is dying.
So almost a serenade for a person who is maybe passing on, right?
And how it's going. To me, it has a lot of reassurance.
Reassurance, that's a good word, yeah.
Heaven will be
like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other reflections on the feeling of that music and that text in particular? Comfort, right, reassurance, comfort, right. Good. So a different way of getting at what heaven sounds like, and you'll find those passages of comfort and excitement and fear and sort of stacked up on one another in Revelation. That image of God wiping away the tears, which is at the end of this passage in 7, is amplified in a much more familiar passage probably for most of us from the 21st chapter. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more.
mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. So let's listen to a couple of examples, very different in style, that deal with these last verses from chapter 21. I want it to go away. I want it to go away. Let's see if I can. Just may need. Oh, here we go. There we go. And I don't want to have the intro here. Oh, I forget. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Now, the man I'm about to introduce is a rare talent. He not only sings, he sings fine gospel, but he's a fantastic writer. His composition of My Tribute can be found in many of our modern-day hymnals. He's a Grammy Award winner four times over, a dynamic performer. Ladies and gentlemen, my special guest star, Andre Crouch.
I'm so glad for the very promise of the Lord. And whether you believe it or not, we can really say a song that I put together some time ago, but it says, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. If you feel like clapping your hands, do so, it's okay.
Sorry to end abruptly like that. What did you experience? What does heaven sound like? Like a party. Wow, now it's gone from a march to and fun to like a party, right? Like something really joyful, right? Yeah. What else? And that exuberance, right? Wow, that joyful hope, right? Yeah. So this comes out of a tradition, right? Like a long tradition of this charismatic, exuberant, encouraging, emotive kind of worship, right? That connects us with our whole person, right? Because we do believe the whole person will be redeemed one day, right? Not just some ethereal spirit, right? Yeah.
It was definitely congregational. You talked about there are those of us who have been pastors. But it was not personal, it was collective.
That's it, yeah. So it's a collective, we are going to see the King, right? And that encouragement, there are those of us among us who have passed, right? But we know we're going to meet them on that shore, right? So there's a grounding here in that expectation, right? That comes across in how the music is presented. It makes me think about how we do soon and very soon. I might have to get wider lapels and work on my style. now something that contrasts with this. Go away. There it is. Okay. This is, let me pause this for a moment. This is the girls, the trebles in this are girl choristers from Bath Cathedral in England under Hugh Lewis. And this is an anthem, "And I Saw a New Heaven" by Edgar Barstow. And a very different picture, but it's the same, no more weeping, no more sorrow, no more death. I need to sort of go to a midpoint in the anthem because it's quite long.
Thank you.
little preview of what's next. So what did you hear in this instance that might contrast with soon and very soon?
There's nothing purer than children's voices, angelic,
mm-hmm.
just rise above everything else and very peaceful.
So the purity of the sound of young, you know, pre-adolescent voices, that sort of linear sound, gives a picture of a peace or serenity, right? Yeah. Others, yeah.
Or yesterday, rest, and there's a beauty.
Right. All right. So a sense of rest of final, when I say relaxation of tension, now it's just sort of, right? Yeah. Other thoughts that occurred to you as you were listening to this?
Near the beginning, I almost felt like I was
lifted up. God shall wipe away. Right, so this feeling of lift, of transport, right? You're like, what is this sound, right? And of course, the room and all those things conspire to make you feel like, where am I, you know? Another attempt at painting what heaven might sound like, right? Right? Very different, but complementary, yeah.
The acoustics gave it that.
Yeah, that's sort of again, like the voices and the musical line and the acoustic all conspire, right? Just as with Andre Thomas, the percussion and the drive of those gospel chord progressions and the exuberance of how something is sung communicates something as well, right? Yeah, yeah. So you make a very good point at the end. For some people, that this music may not appeal, right? And you're exactly right. For some people, Andre Thomas may not do it, you know? And so what we try to do at Nassau, and I think as Christians as well, is open as many windows and doors as possible. Well, what about this picture? What about this song? What about this prayer, right? So it's interesting to sort of set these very, very different styles and very different traditions side by side with each other. Let's take a quick look at hymn 374 in your hymnal. 374. This talks about that holy city of God coming down out of heaven. We won't sing this one, but I just want us to look at the text. O holy city, seen of John, where Christ the Lamb does reign, within whose four square walls, etc. O shame on us who rest content while lust and greed for gain in street and shop and tenement wring gold from human pain. Give us, O God, the strength to build the city that has stood too long a dream, whose laws are love, whose ways are servanthood, and where the sun that shines becomes your grace for human good. Already in the mind of God that city rises fair. Lo, how its splendor challenges the souls that greatly dare and bids us seize the whole of life and build its glory there. Written at the same time Upton Sinclair was writing The Jungle, right? Social gospel. Well, is heaven just something we hope for? Or is it something we could build here now? Is it coming? Can we go? Can we tune our lives to that future song? And so that's another way that heaven can sound in us, right? Is what does it mean for our lives today? So I've pulled up here an example of a spiritual, I've Got Shoes, and I have two versions of those to share with you. And I think they're reflective of what we heard in the earlier passages, a harp, palms, a robe, a crown, right? And that's what this spiritual tunes in on. So let's listen to I've Got Shoes.
I got shoes, you got shoes, all of God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, gonna put on my shoes, I'm gonna walk all over God's heaven. Heaven, heaven, Everybody talk about him and going to heaven. Heaven, I'm gonna walk all over God's heaven. I got a robe, you got a robe, all the God's children got robes. When I get to heaven, I'm gonna put on my robe, I'm gonna shout all over God's heaven. Heaven, heaven, everybody talk about a heaven and going to heaven. Heaven, I'm gonna shout all over God's heaven. I got a harp, you got a harp, all the God's children got harps. When I get to heaven, gonna take up my harp, I'm gonna play all over God's heaven. Heaven, heaven, everybody talk about it, heaven going to heaven. Heaven, I'm gonna play all over God's heaven. I got wings, you got wings, all the God's children got wings. When I get to heaven, gonna hitch on my wings, I'm gonna fly all over God's heaven. Heaven, heaven, everybody talk about a heaven and going to heaven. Heaven, I'm gonna fly all over God's heaven.
Everyone talking about heaven ain't going there. I got shoes. I got a crown. I got wings. I got a robe. Who wrote this piece? I mean, not that arrangement. Who wrote I Got Shoes? Walk all over. Who's the author? Who's the composer? The African-American community. The slaves. They wrote it as a group. Right? In enslavement. What does it mean as a slave to say, I've got shoes, when the master doesn't give you shoes, doesn't give you barely enough food, gives you rags to wear? I got a robe. I got a crown. Wow. I'm going to walk all over God's heaven. Wow. You know, everyone talking about heaven ain't going there, right? That's an extraordinary protest song. And it just sounds like, I got a robe, you got a robe. Master won't know that I'm being happy, but I know what's coming, right? Because I've read the book of Revelation, right? And I know that there is justice. That's extraordinary. That's just an extraordinary spiritual. It's set here in sort of concert form, right? In a form that maybe white audiences could digest a little more easily, right? Because when these ethnomusicologists went out sort of after the antebellum period and like, we better write these spirituals down or they're going to be forgotten, they're like, what are these people singing? I don't even have the notation for this. Right? Here is I Got Shoes. Probably something closer to its original form from the Missionary Baptist Church in South Carolina. This is the hymn choir of the Nazareth Missionary Baptist Church singing at a hymn festival, at a choir festival. This is a very long example, but I'll play a portion of it, and you're just going to be blown away. I was yesterday as well. I found this at 9 o'clock last night. I'm like, wow. Pay attention to everything that's happening.
Oh,
First time as a white person, because society is very segregated. Can you imagine being a black northerner in the Witherspoon Church and having these folks come in and sing that? You're like, what? Right? What does heaven sound like? How would you describe, what does heaven sound like in this church, in this Missionary Baptist Church?
Rapture.
Wow. That's a strong word. Tell me a little bit more.
So
you have personal experience of being at a service like this in the midst, because that's I sort of like, I want to be in the middle of that. I'm going to feel what that's like. That's extraordinary. And that you use the word rapture and also broken open and lift, right? That foot percussion, the whole church is a drum, right? And the bodies are rocking together, right? So the whole, again, sort of like in Soon and Very Soon, the entire body is involved in this statement, heaven. Not everyone talking about heaven ain't going there. And then all of a sudden, I got shoes, right? Everybody there probably has shoes. But what do we lack in our lives? How could we sing the song authentically, I got shoes? What do we yearn for, right? That only God can give, right? I got shoes. Right, this woman in the white hat, it sort of stops for a minute, and then all of a sudden she stands up and says, "I got a song," and then the whole thing gets rocking again. I wish I could show you the whole thing. It's just like, wow, it was just sort of waiting, and then she said, "I got a song." Right, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. The song developed out of the roar, right? So something sort of, just very central to human expression there. Yeah.
Well, the so-called roar was really the backup, and it was improvisational.
Right.
And we haven't seen it.
Right. Yeah. They can just sort of drop those things in. Good observations, folks. Yeah, I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of these soundscapes of what heaven might sound like, right, along the way. If we sing Revelation instead of trying to solve it, if we live into its mystery by listening to its music, I believe that we take part in what heaven sounds like, gratitude, hope, justice, and we participate in the future mystery of the last things in the present, living lives here and now of thankfulness and praise, hope and comfort, justice and peace. We participate in the great reunion of Revelation as we practice Sunday by Sunday through worship what it means to be a people, as it says in the book of Hebrews, who have here no continuing city but seek one to come. The final words of Revelation in the King James Version are, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Thank you all for this afternoon, this morning.
so fantastic. Noel, thank you so much. Can we get one more round of applause? That was really wonderful. So Adult Ed continues next week. We are starting our Advent speakers. So we will be kicking off with Elizabeth Steele, who is going to be discussing the art of Advent. So I hope that you all can join us. Have a beautiful rest of your Sunday, and hopefully we'll see you next week.